Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning. This is Tracy Hales Vass with Right on Four Corners on KSJE 90.9 FM in Farmington, New Mexico. Today I'm talking with Jim Tritton and Sandy Hoover about their new books, Mirth and Musings and Panama Gold. Good morning, Jim and Sandy.
Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Tracy. It's nice to hear your voice.
It's nice to hear you guys. I had so much fun reading both of your books, Mirth and Musings, which is some short stories and some essays, and then the thriller, Panama Gold.
Well, I'm glad.
Well, we're excited about Panama's Gold.
Yeah. Would you call it a thriller?
I think an adventure story is more appropriate. What do you think, Sandy? Adventure rather than thriller?
I think because we know who done it, essentially. Thriller is the word to use on that one, but a hint of a romance to come thrown in.
Yes.
Romance in there, yeah.
Definitely has some love story. I like the characters very much.
Okay.
So tell me now, Mirth.
That's good to hear.
Mirth and Musings. It appeared that these were essays and short stories taken from other publications. Is that correct?
That is true.
All but one.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, okay. There's just one.
Right.
There's one that this is. There's all that's one that, but one of them had never been published before. So the rest of them, yes, they'd all been published.
So what provoked the idea to put them together in this compilation?
Jim, I'm going to let you cover that one.
Okay, so we originally worked with the publisher about Panama's Gold, and she then said that she wanted a three-book deal, and she wanted to add to that something that we could get out quickly that wouldn't be very long, but she could then use as a teaser to let people know who we were and make it available before Panama's Gold. So I said to her, well, the only thing we can do that would be that quick would be to put an anthology together of our previously published works. And Sandy added one in that had not been published. And
okay.
It came out, it's doing exactly what it should be doing.
Ah.
It's out there. It mm-hmm. shows people what we're capable of writing. The publisher has made it available to a large audience. And in the meantime, in late August, we got a final proof copy of the cover and the text, and it was published in September.
Yes, I love the cover, and the story's good. So will this be offered hardback or electronic only?
It's paperback and electronic.
Great, great. Well, one thing I noticed in Panama's Gold was the artwork done by our friend Yasmin.
True, yes. She was, we had originally made the book with photographs in there, and we just took them from a lot of places, but they were illustrative. They were not meant to be used for publication. They were, it would really look nice if we had a picture of a gold escudo right here.
Right.
And so then Yasmin went ahead and drew those, and we just substituted the temporary photographs for the artwork that she did.
I love it. Especially, you're talking about the corner of a trunk, and the illustration really showed exactly what we were talking about there.
It's very helpful to have that one. It is hard for most of us to imagine what that looks like. If you haven't had the advantage, as I had, of having an old grandmother's trunk,
right,
which was my coffee table for years and years in college, and then as a poverty-stricken early married,
right.
So that's what me think of that corner as something that would survive the years, that right. could be found, that could be a questionable, what is this, and make them try and discover what it could have been attached to.
Right. Yeah, it was very effective. So the story, I know that you have a colleague who is someone I've talked to, an author, who is in Panama, and did he give you some help?
Oh, Bryn Kalenda is an unindicted co-conspirator.
Oh, right.
We could not have written this book without his help. He was on scene. We were on Skype and FaceTime all throughout the writing of it, and constantly got ideas from him, and then he would validate what we wanted to write and say, no, you can't say that. No, that's not true. Yes, that's true. And he was great, as was Lindy, his wife, who is a linguist. And
the trigger for the whole book was my wanting to write something about Panama after being there on a wonderful birding trip. It's the kind of thing that made me say, as the Kalendas did, you know, I would love to be an expat and be down here. And so it was an excuse to relive the experience, and it was also a chance to try and share what an amazing country it is with someone else.
Well, I noticed, Sandy, that you are a birder, and it shows up in several of your other writings, the fact that you are knowledgeable about birds.
Well, I'm fascinated by them and almost anything that involves the natural world. I've been a natural historian for a long time, and it's very difficult to take a cardio walk if it's not just on a track, because there's always something to stop and look at.
Right.
It's a butterfly, or, you know,
it's true.
Look at the leaf, or something, or just watching ants.
That's right.
There's just so many things out there that I want to know about.
And so your protagonist in this book is a birder.
Well, it gave her a reason for being there.
Right.
That was very helpful.
Yeah. She's a very real character. She comes with her own heartbreaks and issues that you don't go into, but you don't have to, because we get to know her well.
Thank you. I'm glad it came across that way. I was hoping that it would work, and I'm thinking that the next one, I'm having a chance to develop her a lot more and give her let more of her personality show.
Oh, great. So we will get to see her again.
Yes, she's continuing.
Good.
Don't know how many of the other characters will, but she is for sure.
Good. Will this next one be set then in Panama also?
It is. It's on the other coast, but it's in the same country. So it's going to be fun because it's very different landscape.
So how did you guys write this together?
Awkwardly? No.
Awkwardly?
No, we have been writing a number of things together. This is our sixth collaboration, so we kind of got used to working together on a variety of different projects. And each one of us brought the strengths that we have of our background and took the lead on sections. For example, obviously Sandy would take the lead on anything having to do with birds.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to a helicopter crash, I took the lead, even though I don't fly helicopters, but I had access to individuals who did, who could make sure I understood it, and then I would then turn their technical words, hopefully, into words that would be understood by anybody who read the book.
It seemed as though there was some technical knowledge going on behind there, and I kind of suspected where that came from.
The other thing Jim is very good at is male dialogue. And so I would write something and he'd go, nice to have, again, an expert in the field who could correct things that weren't appropriate or didn't sound true to the character. And I really, you know, where we were saying Bryn was so helpful with Panama, that's where Jim is so helpful with all of the other pieces that we needed in the story.
So this truly.
But similarly, I, as a man, I can write what I think a woman would do and might say, but I'll give you this as a perfect example. I have no idea what happens when all these women go off to the ladies' room together.
Right.
So how I could write, that's as far as I could get as they all went into the ladies' room. Now, what happens at that point? You need somebody else who does that.
Who's in that room?
You then.
Yes, you do get stopped at the door.
Right. So you have worked together for quite a while in collaboration with the Corrales Writing Group. Are you still doing that?
Go ahead.
Yes,
Danny.
And yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah. We're still meeting every 2 weeks. We still work on helping each other to grow as writers. Luckily, they're now looking at every chapter of this next book that's coming into being and making it better because I've got so many different eyes looking at it.
Yeah.
And so it's, I don't know what we'd do without them. It's such a supportive, experienced group. It's not just the support. You know, you can get somebody to say rah rah,
right?
But having them also know how to help you grow is a real advantage.
And to tell you if something's not working, also.
Exactly, honesty counts.
Absolutely,
kind honesty.
Right.
That's important, and I think the Corrales Writing Group it does the job that we want it to do for each of us well. We don't pull any punches. We tell people, you know, this isn't working. We don't demand things. It's like, well, have you thought about doing this? And invariably, all of our work benefits, and many, many of our products have won numerous awards.
Yes.
I put that directly because of the interaction with the Corrales Writing Group. So it is a model for what a critique group can do.
It is, and you've talked about how it operates, and I've shared that with my critique group, too, because I think it does work.
It becomes a very positive experience. You don't go home feeling like you've been beaten about the head and shoulders
right.
with a grammatical nicety. You
right.
know, it's one of those things where everybody is positive and concerned about helping it be better, not saying, well, you didn't do that right.
Right.
Which is... you don't need that kind of criticism that squelches any interest you might have in continuing.
And writers are so sensitive anyway.
She says with her hand to her forehead.
Right.
Oh, definitely. You know? Here's an attack of the vapors coming. You can't
That's
be that
right,
critical.
Right. You know? Well, would you guys like to read something from, which one do you want to read from? Panama Gold, Mirth and Musings, or both? Great.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sandy. Why don't you take the first one, and I'll follow up.
Okay. The one I'm going to use a little piece of is How Could I Run Away?
Okay.
This was written quite a while back when I was still remembering the throes of being a new mom
mm-hmm.
and having a husband who was not always there,
mm-hmm.
frequently overseas or out of reach. And this is to tell you how old it is, this is the era before cell phones. So anyway,
it
I'll
still
run
work,
away.
Though. Yeah.
That was my frequent threat or promise to myself. So I said it again out loud. I'll run away. I thought about running away from home much more as an adult than I ever did as a child. Daydreams maintained my sanity and became my escape during weeks that sometimes became months when my husband was working overseas. New Orleans charm had always intrigued me. I'd become a redhead and match my Irish temper. Then I'd sit in a garret, a phrase sounding artistically reclusive and poetic, and write florid bodice ripper novels or dramatic plays where the heroine loves unwisely. Did garrets even exist anymore? How would I find one? More importantly, in New Orleans, were they air-conditioned? Most importantly, what would I do if a hurricane came by? And the odds were good that one would visit in the foreseeable future. For the rest of that, there's a book. Jim, it's your turn.
Very good.
I'll leave you there.
Okay. Very good.
I liked that essay. I could definitely relate to it.
I think most women could.
Right.
Yeah. It's one of her best pieces. That's why it's in the anthology.
Yeah, very good. Okay,
so let's give your listeners a small taste of what Panama's Gold is like. Panama's Gold, a tale of greed, And this extract comes from maybe about two-thirds of the way through, where we're starting to get to resolution, and there's this high point.
Okay.
I cannot bring myself to sell the property. It's been in the family since the time of the conquistadores. Lanny jumped to her feet and pumped her clenched right fist. Terrific! What are your plans? What can we do to help? We're in this with you. Waving his arm to calm her down, Bernardo chuckled and asked, how about the rare earth? Alejandro answered, my advisors tell me that we need to deal with the government and obtain mining permits. They don't think this will be a problem. Once the government understands there is a potential for major economic development, they will delay action until we obtain financial backing for our operations. Bernardo asked, and what about the Chinese? Alejandro looked at the desktop and picked up some documents stapled to a blue cover. Mira, the latest. He handed the papers to Bernardo. Bernardo reviewed each page and then handed them to Lanny. An even better offer than last time. Lanny put the papers back on the desk and asked, when did you get these? Joe was here about an hour ago. He said it was their final offer. He knows you said no. Yes, when he left here, he clearly understood that the property would only be sold over my dead body. Bernardo added, let's hope it does not come to that. Alejandro beckoned to the door. Lanny, Professor Cruz, let's go out to the area of the old gold mine. I want to show you something I found yesterday. They went out to the Land Rover and got in. Alejandro turned the starter and stopped when the engine did not catch as expected, and there was a distinct smell of gasoline. What the? Alejandro said. He motioned toward the ignition key but was interrupted by Bernardo's hand on his arm. Bernardo said, wait. Don't try the starter again. Something might catch fire. I smell gasoline, possibly a break in a fuel line. Let's look under the hood. The three of them got out of the vehicle and approached the front. The smell of gasoline was quite pronounced. Alejandro reached for the latch and opened the hood. What is that doing in there? Lanny asked. Bernardo glanced at both as he answered. There is no logical reason for a cardboard box with holes to be in the engine compartment, let alone with fuel injectors fed into the box. Let's get some long-handled tools and take it out. Drop the hood. They grabbed rakes and a shovel from the nearby tool shed and returned to the Land Rover. Carefully raising the hood, Bernardo used a rake to hold down the lid while he removed the fuel injectors from the box's small holes. Alejandro, you put your shovel under the box and see if you can lift it up. Lanny, you put your rake up in the air and start swinging if anything comes out. Alejandro lifted the box and bent over to place it on the ground. As he did so, the top of the box flew up and a gasoline-soaked fer de lance sprung out, mouth wide open, fangs ready to strike. Lanny, get it! Bernardo yelled. Lanny swung down at the Viper and caught it mid-body. Bernardo pushed his rake on the head of the snake, and Alejandro swung his shovel and cut it off.
Can we all hold our breath?
Okay. Yes, yes. And we meet the Fer de Lance. Is that what he's called, that snake?
Yes.
In the first, in the prologue, which is said...
There are several of them down there.
So they're a real snake, and they're deadly, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, they are.
They're now, very, very deadly.
Is the prologue taken from a historical happening, or is it, in fact, fiction also?
Prologue is pure fiction.
Oh.
The fact that you ask us really feel good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it could.
We did a good job creating that guy and his situation,
yeah,
and envisioning what it must have been like trying to make the canal.
Really?
Especially in those days with no place to go to cool off, no understanding of the illnesses and what you needed to do.
Right.
It was a grim experiment. And it was such a difference in the way of needed construction that the French gave up on it. And that's why the Americans finally were the ones that understood how to do this complex construction that was necessary. It wasn't like just throwing the Suez Canal across a bunch of dunes.
Right.
Sorry, it shouldn't make it sound quite so casual.
Right.
The difference in those two landscapes and what had to be done was quite dramatic.
So, Jim, have you been down there to Panama?
Ever have.
Does this make you want
that?
To go?
We wrote this thing, and Sandy has been there, mm-hmm. but all of the places that we describe are all fictional.
Wow. Remarkable.
Based on what Sandy saw and experienced there.
And with Jim's help.
A lot of that is very realistic, but that's where Bryn came in.
Yeah.
You know? We realized we wanted to do something with gold, and we wanted to do something with rare earth, and we had to figure out what conditions were necessary for that to happen.
Right.
And then what kind of places in Panama met those conditions. And we were able to find something that just needed a little tweaking, and it's believable.
And now you want to go there, right?
Oh, and I want to go back.
I bet. So we'll see Lanny in the next book, and will she be in Panama?
Yes, she is. She is over on the western end of Panama, where she's working on another volcano.
Oh.
And they're all quiescent, luckily.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's very steep because it has been further eroded even more than the one that they were on before.
Oh.
It's a challenging area physically, and that is part of this story, is managing that and the bad guys.
And the bad guys, exactly. And I think that without giving anything away, there was definitely a hook at the end of that first book, Panama's Gold, that made us want to consider on a new book.
Absolutely.
I loved it.
Yep. So it will be coming out probably the end of the year. And
great.
That's when, we'll hope to have that one done and in your hands so that you can go, now I know what happened.
Right. I can hardly wait.
My kind of reader.
You bet. One of the characters in there starts off seeming like a nice guy, but it's far into it that we find out that he's a bad guy. How was that, writing that character?
It was interesting. We knew what we wanted to do with the character, and then we had to make it believable given his ethnic background,
uh-huh.
and we thought we captured it well.
I think so. I was surprised and wanted to look back and see if there were any hints about him earlier, but I was surprised.
Well, isn't that part of the author's job, is to roll out surprises and keep the reader a little bit off balance?
Right.
Then you go, well, wait a minute, I thought he was a good guy. Well,
right,
not
exactly.
Necessarily.
So
if you go back, you will find a few crumbs that were dropped for you.
Right. I did. But it was a surprise.
We wouldn't pull it out of our hat.
That's why
it was not fair.
Right.
You know, you have to let you have the opportunity for him to have shown that he was a bad guy, and we just missed it.
You have to make him believable that he would reveal himself as a bad guy, and you did that.
Yeah, he was trying to gain status in the eyes of his boss. He was doing
right.
what he was told. And so in his light, he was okay. And he was
right.
Surprised to be thought of as a bad guy.
Right. So did you two sit down and say, let's write this book and go from here to there and kind of outline it first?
Very good question. So as I recall,
we take two different approaches.
Yeah, we have two different approaches, and they both work well.
Yes.
But
okay.
But before we really developed the entire book, we had the ending. We knew what the ending was going to be.
Uh-huh.
And that way, you can do some deviating along the way, and we did that. But we knew where we were going to start. We knew where we were going to end. And we knew what the stakes were, we knew what the themes were, we had the characters, and kind of fleshed it out.
Okay.
That way each chapter became a writing assignment instead of a book.
Ah.
To just write an assignment about, we're going to take a helicopter and we're going to go fly around a volcano.
Okay.
That's a chapter. That's a short story. Mm-hmm. That's a bite-sized bit. And I prefer to work like that, with an idea of why I'm writing. I totally understand the pantser approach.
Yes.
And I just don't think it works well for me.
Yeah, don't you think each writer is different? What about you, Sandy? You said you had two different approaches.
Well,
so.
Yeah, and mine is much more the pantser approach to it, which is, okay, we've got the beginning and the end, now let's just go and see where we end, you know, see how we get there. But I can fill in scenes, and that's what I agree with Jim. I like having a writing assignment that, okay, this is supposed to do that, and so how will I say it to make it effective? That is my looking at it from each one of these is going, okay, this has to happen in order to get over there. So this piece is my writing assignment today.
I like
that's
that.
Another example of the two different approaches, whether it's a man's approach or a woman's approach,
right.
or in this case, the basic style of writing. They complement each other. They're not in conflict. It's just you get, and I use both styles depending on what I'm writing.
Right.
So it worked well. We worked together well as a team. This book, Panama's Gold, has already won a New Mexico Presswomen first place.
Yes.
And a National Federation of Presswomen national second place.
Oh, congratulations.
We must be doing something right.
You must be, yeah. It was remarkable.
I'm great to see if it continues.
It's remarkable how seamless the book was. It didn't feel like there were two writers, nor did it feel like it was written chapter by chapter. It was flowed very well. It was a can't put it down type of book.
Well, that's high praise.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm sitting here glowing.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
I'll take that one, Tracy. Thank you.
And where
means that we did it what we wanted to do.
You did. I was very pleased with it. And where can listeners find your book?
Amazon.com.
Yeah, Panama's Gold will be out September 28th.
Great. So it just came out.
Sooner.
It just came out.
It's just coming out. Yep.
Yep.
Oh, came out. Sorry.
And it's okay.
Mirth and Musings is the same way. But all of our writing is available on Amazon.com. Just look up either of our names or look up the titles of the books. Or go to Red Penguin Books, and they have websites, and you can find out more about the books there, but they still sell them via Amazon. But Red Penguins and Stephanie Larkin and her son, J.K. Larkin, are our publishers and editors, and they do a terrific job for us.
Great.
Thanks again having us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And make sure you get in touch with me when the next edition of Lanny's Ventures comes out.
All right, Tracy.
We will indeed.
All right.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you.
I love talking with you. Talk to you again soon.
I hope so. Thank you. And that was Jim Tritton and Sandy Hoover talking about their two books, Mirth and Musings and Panama's Gold. This is Tracy Hales Vass with Right on Four Corners on KSJE, the information and cultural beacon of the Four Corners in Farmington, New Mexico.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.